the Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Thanks for being with us. We will have Fabs on board today. Michael Fabiano looking ahead to this weekend's fantasy football from all angles. Of course, SiriusXM Fantasy Dirt and SI.com, the one, the only, the Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano. DJ Foster as well, if you missed some of that from yesterday. Very good with DJ. He's part of this week's Brad Sesmatt Football AZ Show on Bally Sports Arizona. 16 airings as always. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always, that is Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. We have a lot going on in town. Some of it is out. Some of it is not. I will get to some of the back stuff going on at ASU in a minute. I think the story of the day is Brittany Griner's appeal was denied this morning. Very early this morning, her appeal hearing on a Russian drug conviction took place. She's been in jail since February, and her appeal has been denied. It's going to come down to a prisoner swap, I would think, if I'm to believe those whose opinions I trust on this one. That has already happened today. Tonight, the Suns meet Golden State. Now, it's a regular season game in October. You're thinking, yeah, Brad, okay, regular season October. No, it's the Warriors. Okay, it's the defending champions. Like, if the Lakers rolled in here right now, I'd just be like, huh? Yeah, it's LeBron, an aging LeBron. They don't know what to do with Russell Westbrook. They don't look good at all. These the Warriors. These the Warriors. Golden State is kicking tail and taking names. This is Steve Kerr's bunch. Could be their last hurrah. Draymond and Clay and Steph and all that, that will be tonight in downtown Phoenix. Looking forward to that. ASU, so yesterday John Wilner and I, we had our weekly conversation, Wilner Hotline, National Voice. He broke the story on the Pac-12 losing USC, UCLA. He's broken numerous other stories. He and I have been comparing notes, and we're hearing the same thing, but he was very straightforward about it, that he believes that Ray Anderson is not making this hire of the new head football coach, that Ray Anderson is going to be terminated. Today, a lot of that is swirling around. There's a lot of blood in the water today, right now, as we're speaking. I always tell teams, or a part of our team, and those that I teach over at Cronkite, or that we have in our internship program, be right, not first. Be right, not first. You can be both, great. It's one of those days where there's going to be some people jumping the gun. And they may be right, just so they can say they were first, doesn't mean that there's not a slippery slope on this whole deal. Okay, all I'm going to say is, yeah, it's been pretty obvious for a while now that there's going to be a change in this front office. Pretty straightforward to me with this NCAA investigation from people that I've spoken to on this that have been involved outwardly, that there's going to be a change. And I would just say that with everything that happened around Herm and with Antonio Pierce and with the program, it only makes sense if, in fact, that this is the end. I'm not saying today is going to be the day. There's going to be a day, though. This day's coming. Let's not kid ourselves. But today there's blood in the water for sure. There's just a lot that is swirling around, and nothing would surprise me over there. In terms of football, yesterday when Sean Aguano, the interim coach, spoke about opening up the competition to quarterback with Emory Jones and Bourget, and there was all this, he should have played Bourget from the beginning. No, I don't agree with that. Well, they would have won the game. I don't know that. I don't know that. I do believe he should have pulled Jones. And this, to me, is an admission on Sean's part that he went back and he looked at the tape. Doesn't matter what he says up front. You have to parse through all that stuff. In this day and age, doesn't matter if it's sports or politics, press conferences are just nothing. There's nothing. It's just, let's just get through this so that there's something, anything for 10 seconds in the evening news, which is garbage. It just is. It's crapola. So you just parse through it. You look at it, kind of want to see a little bit more, look at it on the outside in, and you say, was there an issue there with the play caller, Glenn Thomas and Aguano? Because after the first quarter, all of a sudden, they didn't really do that much that they were doing against Stanford. Sean is coaching for his life. As I like to say, you get one bite at the apple. And this week against Colorado, you can't screw that bite up. You just can't. And so there's just a lot, as always, as I've said, always something university, that is ASU. When the time comes and Ray is gone, there's a list of names of people that I would like to see them pursue. The name for the coach, you know, this has to happen before the coach comes into place, in my opinion. Because if you don't have the sitting athletic director in on this hire, the longer you wait, the more that you're going to be sitting there saying, well, this was not this athletic director's hire. This is just sensical. And I've heard some over at ASU that have said, well, we don't really need to name our coach. We can wait through the cycle because we're just going to go after transfer portal guys anyways. Let me tell you something. The portal has already swung open here in the third week of October. Like, there's some dudes. I'm not going to sit here and throw names out, but there's some dudes. And these are guys that already know they're going to get out. And the situation at ASU is holding them hostage. It's holding them back. Meantime, very much looking forward to U of A and USC this Saturday. I don't believe that U of A is going to win the game, but they're getting better. They're getting better on offense. That's the problem. Their defense is horrific. I don't see any way, shape, or form that they hold. I don't know what the line is. I don't know what the over-under is. I don't know what the total is. I don't know anything. Haven't looked. I just know that this is going to be a lot of points by one team, I think. And U of A could get into a shootout. They could. But it would be a shocker if they beat USC. It would be a stunner, absolute stunner. Biggest win for Jed Fish. They'd storm the field and all that stuff. Not going to happen. Famous last words, right? It's like ASU going up to Colorado this week. It could be teetering a little bit. You know, if Sean's going to wait until Friday to decide who his quarterback is going to be against the Buffaloes, are there guys within the locker room saying, this gives us the best chance to win the game? If I go back to last Saturday's broadcast of Stanford and ASU, Yogi Roth said over and over and over how the leadership council for Stanford kept going to their head coach and saying, this is what we want you to do. This is what we want you to do. So do I believe that there's some of that, a lot of that going on in Arizona State? I'm not in there, but yeah. To me, it's obvious for Sean. Got to open it up. Got to open it up. And the Coyotes play tonight at Columbus. I bring this up because their home opener is this Friday. This Friday in our little slice of heaven, it's going to be a Friday night of high school football, which everybody will be out at, or not everybody, but a lot of people will be out at. It'll be the first game for the Coyotes in a 5,000-seat arena, which is a bad look for the NHL, which is a bad look for the Coyotes when it's overrun by fans of the opposing team. I'm not going to say it's going to happen on Friday night. I'm glad they're still here. There's people that are saying hockey should just leave. It will never work. It's always been about the ownership group here. Too many owners are just looking at this as something else rather than this is the main thing. Make the main thing the main thing. We hear that in business. We hear that. I see it in sports where guys don't make the main thing the main thing. And so this Friday night will be very interesting if you do go to see the Coyotes in their home opener over at ASU. In terms of the Cardinals, they play Minnesota, and Vikings are coming off a bye week. They played a lot of close games. I'm not a big believer in Kirk Cousins. I'm a big believer in Justin Jefferson. He's been great. A year ago this week, the Cardinals were 7-0. Saw some things against New Orleans that were promising, but it was New Orleans. By the way, the Vikings barely squeaked by New Orleans. And so Justin Jefferson is on track to set the all-time season-setting record, I'll get it right, for pass yardage held by Calvin Johnson. I think he can do that against the Cardinals' defense. It's going to be a big challenge for the Cardinals' defense. Justin Jefferson's really, really good. But you have Kirk Cousins on that side of the football, and I'm not the biggest fan of his game. I'm just not. And one last thing, and it's outside of the Suns and Golden State tonight, and that is the commissioner of the NBA, Adam Silver, when he met with the Suns employees last week before their season opener, he came out to Phoenix and he apologized about what had happened under the Robert Sarver regime. But he also talked about the future of the league and spoke about tanking. And We've talked about how this year is going to be tankabalooza because of Wayamba. When you see him play, Victor Wayamba, and it is, he's amazing to watch. And I thought that when Adam Silver's quote about we might go to relegation, the U.S. soccer thing, was a joke. And the more that I think about it, like if you're a, let's just say you're a franchise that every year stinks. Let's say you're Sacramento or you're Oklahoma City because they're going through rebuilding. They're trying to tank this year. I'm not going to say they're trying to tank. They're going to win some games, of course. But relegation, could you imagine a G League team being brought up? Can't do it from a business model standpoint. All of a sudden, Oklahoma City sent down and Stockton is playing games. That's not going to happen. Well, that was interesting that the commissioner would go down that path. All right, Fabs is next. Fantasy Football Focus, as we do every Tuesday. Michael Fabiano is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. And now, because my team stinks, it's Michael Fabiano here to solve my issues, your issues. My team's really not that bad, in all honesty. It is the Hall of Famer. It is good to catch up with Fabs. You can hear him on SiriusXM Fantasy Dirt and at SI.com, where he does a lot of content. As we work our way through the halfway mark of the season, the trade deadline is next week. There's injuries all over the place. The mailbag is full with somewhat of the same players. So let's just start with what is new on your end that you look at in fantasy midpoint of the season, Babs.
Quarterback has been a disaster. The position has been so much worse than it's been in, I can't remember the last time it's been this bad, to be quite honest with you. Ever. Like, think about this. The QB12 last year averaged right around 18 to 19 points per game. So if you're a fantasy manager, if you get anything fewer than, say, 17 points, it's not a good week. And that's been the case the last couple of years. This year, Tom Brady is the QB12. He's averaging 15 points a game, and he's been bad. That tells you everything you need to know. When Geno Smith is a top 12 quarterback, when we're actively starting Marcus Mariota, I mean, that tells you a lot about this position. And it's kind of been just like this one great big downfall. Unless you're Josh Allen or Mahomes or Jalen Hurts, like think about the quarterbacks who haven't been good this year. Lamar Jackson started off on fire. His last four games, he's not even a top 15 quarterback in fantasy points. Tom Brady's fallen off. Aaron Rodgers has fallen off. Stafford, he can't even play him now. He's been so bad. And those are just a few of the names. So it's been a very difficult season. Now, when you look at your fantasy points at the end of each week and you see your quarterback has given you 15 or 16, mm-hmm. in the past, that would have been bad. That would have been – that's not a good start. Now, it's actually at the low end of the QB1 spectrum, which is an absolute joke. And, you know, scoring is down across the league. And this week, Brad, we have – two amazing matchups. Sam Ellinger against Taylor Heinicke and PJ Walker against Marcus Mariota. Like, this is where the league is at right now. You got backup and third string quarterbacks playing. The Patriots have a quarterback position battle right now between two quarterbacks who aren't any good, Mac Jones and Bailey Zappi. So it's really been rough. So you've got to adjust your thinking when it comes to quarterbacks in terms of what's a good start and what's not.
Well, like Joe Burrow was sitting across from me last week, so my game was over.
I had five leagues where I played against him out of 13. Yeah. So I obviously got beat, and I should mention Burrow too among the top quarterbacks. He's now among the elite. He's not at like the Josh Allen level or the Mahomes level, but he's right there with Jalen Hurts.
Okay, so a lot of the questions in the mailbag are revolving around a quarterback, one quarterback. That people are like, okay, he's not there, he's somewhere in there. And that's Justin Herbert. He's on a bye this week. I get it. Fabs, from a strategy standpoint, are you at a point where you take a guy like Herbert, who people probably spent a high pick on, and said, you know what, with all the running backs beat up, I can go get Heinicke and play him and go make a trade for a running back? Where are you at on Herbert this year?
He's on that list of guys. Like, he was a 24-point-per-game guy. Now he's averaging like 17.
Yeah.
Which he's a top 10 quarterback though. So like, yeah, he hadn't been good, but he's been, in terms of this season, he's been top 10. He's just been a disappointment. So if you have Herbert, I mean, obviously you're not going to play him this week because of the bye. Like, what are your options? Like, maybe you picked up Geno Smith. But even then, I think the fear among fantasy managers is that if you sit a guy like Herbert or if you sit a guy like Lamar, you're going to miss out on that one big game and kick yourself. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where you're probably going to keep these guys in your lineups, because you're hoping for that one big game. You're hoping for these guys to bounce back and actually be the Justin Herberts and Lamar Jacksons that we've all known from the past. And in Lamar's case very recently, he started off on fire. His first three games, he was unreal. And then the wheels have just fallen off. So you're still going to play those guys. I think the bigger problem for fantasy managers is those of us who waited on quarterbacks, which I always do, right? And it's a tried and true strategy that's always worked for me. This year has been my worst season so far because I don't have any elite teams. All my teams are like 500 or in that area because I drafted quarterbacks late and Aaron Rodgers has been bad and Tom Brady's not been great at all. And, you know, Dak Prescott's been hurt. Trey Lance is out for the season. Tua Tagovailoa has had really like one really good game and we all kind of thought he'd be better. Stafford's had one 18-point performance, and he's been terrible. So when you have like a Josh Allen or a Mahomes or a Hurts or a Joe Burrow, Brad, you've got a major advantage over everybody else in your league, right? Because everyone else is scrambling, hoping to find a quarterback who maybe gets them 16, 17 points.
Okay. And that was a big part of the mailbag. So then a lot of this is bye week, I lose Herbert. Who's the guy this week? I'm just paraphrasing, but several questions about asking, does Fabs like PJ Walker, Taylor Heineke better, or what's going on in Indianapolis?
It's so gross, dude.
Right.
It's so gross. I honestly, if Daniel Jones is out there, and this is a Cowboys fan saying that, I would pick him up and play him.
Okay.
Against Seattle. Daniel Jones has more rushing yards right now than Najee Harris. Is that just gross? But it's true. It's insane. So if you can run with the ball, you and I have been doing this a long time together. You know, if you can run with the football as a quarterback, you're going to have value. Daniel Jones is not consistent, but he runs with the ball. So he's going to have value. So he would be the guy that I'd be trying to get off the waiver wire this week. Now, Sam Ellinger, he can also run with the ball. The guy's never had an NFL start. The matchup's right. If you want to play him in DFS on DK, he's like $4,000 if you want to go real cheap. But I think Daniel Jones is probably the play here off the waiver wire if you need a quarterback.
Wide receivers, Hopkins, CD, Thielen, Ayuk, you can have two.
The first two, for sure. Yeah, okay. I mean, yeah, Nuke and CD.
What's going on with Thielen from your view? Is it just Cousins? Like the Vikings
Cousins has scored a lot of points. Cousins has been good. I mean, Thielen is Thielen. Like at this point in his career, he's an early 30s wide receiver. You know, he's had his ups and downs. He's a guy who certainly can get into the red zone. He had 14 touchdowns just a year ago. You know, the touchdowns are down, but I still think Thielen's he's a risk reward three flex. That's kind of what he is this season. And I mean, the Vikings, like, you know, you joke about them and you joke about Kirk Cousins. They're 5-1.
Right.
Their offense hasn't been bad at all. I mean, it's had its peaks and its values through their first six games. But I like the Vikings this week against the Cardinals. I think Kirk Cousins is probably a back-end QB1. You're obviously starting Dalvin. Jefferson's obviously in your lineup. I like Irv Smith Jr. this week. And, you know, Thielen is – he's Thielen. He's a wide receiver three flex.
Running backs, Mostert, Gordon, Madison. Wow. Rashad White. Whew. That's a lot of problems.
Mostert's been good.
Yeah.
Mostert's taken over that backfield, and he's got the Lions this week. So that he's actually in a really good spot. But the rest of that group, I mean, try to pick up maybe Gus Edwards off the waiver wire or something. I don't know. Like the rest of those guys are just not very attractive from a fantasy perspective.
Breece Hall injury, who does Fabs like better, Robinson or Carter?
For the remainder of the season, Robinson. I think maybe Carter this week, because Robinson is just going to be jumping into a new system. But that was a nice move by the Jets. And boy, does that make Travis Etienne's fantasy managers happy. Cause now that dude that he's already, you know, his agent texted me yesterday and's like, it's Travis Etienne time. I'm like, yeah, it is. Cause you remember he was one of my favorite breakout players this year. And then early in the season, it was Robinson. And I'm like, oh my God, what the heck's going on there? And I don't know why it took so long, but Etienne now is the guy. He was the guy before Robinson got dealt. I like Robinson long-term. I think Robinson, he's not going to be Breece Hall, but he's going to play that Breece Hall role in the Jets offense. And Robinson's a good back. He has a really good back.
A lot of fans want to know your opinion on McCaffrey and the 49ers, how it impacts the offense and other guys.
Last week stunk because, like, we were told he would play a little bit, maybe get in some red zone packages. he didn't get any red zone touches at all. And he had 8 points. So that hurt. And a lot of people probably lost who started McCaffrey. Here's what I think about this situation. Kyle Shanahan's offense, which reflects his dad's offense, has always been running back friendly. Dating back to like Denver when, you know, we were playing Ruben Drones and Mike Anderson and Tatum Bell because they were in Shanahan's offense. I think the same holds true for McCaffrey. Is he going to get as many opportunities as a pass catcher, considering you have Debo and Ayuk and George Kittle? Maybe not. But still very interested to see what he can do in a full game under Shanahan's watch, because we know Shanahan and that offense lean on backs. Now, does this mean Debo may see fewer carries in the backfield? Yeah, but he's already sort of gone in that direction. He's seeing fewer carries in the backfield. I still think Debo will be fine as a wide receiver, but Debo was never going to be 2021 Debo this year. He just wasn't. Regression was coming. He wasn't going to score 8 rushing touchdowns. He wasn't going to have 1,400 yards as a receiver. We kind of knew that going in. I don't think it'll affect Ayuk very much. He's still a 3 flex. The matchup's not bad this week as well. And Kittle had a big game last week. That's not going to be the norm for Kittle, because if you look back at his numbers in the six games previous to week 6, he hadn't been very good. But tight end's weak. So Kittle will get his. I think this probably hurts Debo the most, but it's not like you're not going to start him. Maybe he's not a wide receiver 1, but he's a high wide receiver 2.
I'll get you off here just on who do you like this week. A couple people you're looking at, a couple situations you look at, and you're like, look over here. I mean, I got questions about all the Broncos and what do you do?
Yeah, I'm digging on the Dolphins this week in Detroit. That should be a high scoring game. Tua started off great last week and then fell off, but I'd still play him. Mostert, I mentioned, I'd start him. Tyreek and Jalen are obvious. But the Dolphins are in a smash spot. And by the way, they should never not wear the throwbacks.
No, those were
great. Are glorious. The crappy uniforms that they wear right now, it drives me nuts. Every time I'd love to see them go into Detroit wearing the old white throwbacks. I mean, those would be great. So regardless of my infatuation with uniforms and helmets, I do like the Dolphins a lot this week. And also, you know, we've got some young up-and-coming tight ends that you may want to look at. Now, maybe not start, but guys who are starting to get their name on the Mac. And one of those guys, it's Greg Dulcich. He's played 2 games in the NFL. He went to UCLA. He started the season hurt. First 2 games in the NFL, double-digit points in both games. Had a touchdown in his first game, and then last week had a good game. Now, the Jags, they're playing that game in London. They have a pretty good defense as it pertains to stopping tight ends. But that doesn't mean that you can't pick up Greg Dulcich off the waiver wire and kind of maybe sit on him and see where that situation goes. Because in his first couple of games, he's looked pretty good, and we are desperate at tight end. I mean, when I say desperate, you know what I'm talking about. We are desperate at tight end. So anybody who pops, even in a game or two, I think you got to be looking in their direction on the waiver wire.
I'll let you go off that. Appreciate your time. See you next week. Thanks.
You got it.
There's Fabs, Michael Fabiano. You can hear him on Sirius XM Fantasy Dirt and, of course, SI.com. And we're back with more after this timeout.